Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. This morning I preached on the anchor of the soul and the eternal word of God and the everlasting sacrifice and the exalted position of the Son. And you know, tonight I just want to focus tonight on one other thing. And I want to focus tonight on the word habit. The word habit. Here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 15. No, verse 16, excuse me. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He preached deliverance to the captive and recovering of the sight of to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the ministry and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. Verse 21, and he began to say unto them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your eyes, your ears." And all bear him witness and wonders at his glorious word which proceedeth out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Yea, will surely say unto me this proverb, Physicians, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, did also hear in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, the city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, us the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naam the Syrian." And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up in thirst. him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. We right here, we seeing where they're really talking about the resurrection of Jesus, talking about the resurrection at Nazareth. But tonight, I don't want to look at the resurrection because that's what we're going to be preaching on next Sunday, Lord willing. But I want to look at here in the scripture where some habits that Jesus had. You know, Jesus had habits. He had habits because we see in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He had a habit in being with the other people. He had a habit in being with the other, being in a synagogue, being in church, and lifting up the name of God. But you know, some bad habits that people have today, we can see them. We know what kind of bad habits that they have. And they know it's a bad habit. And they know that they do that. And they know it's a sin unto God. They have a bad habit of drinking. And they think that that bottle that they drank from is going to give them peace and going to give them comfort of what they're going through. Because they're going through so much. They think that that bottle would be able to take their mind off of what they're worried about. But it will not do it. It will not do it. And the drinking will just cause them to go against their family. It'll cause them to where they won't buy any food for the family. And I knew of people today that would go out and they would spend their hard-earned money that they spent, that they worked for all week. But before they get home, they would stop at the store. They would stop by that bar. And they'd go in and start drinking. And then the next thing you know, time they get home, just about all the money is gone. And the wife asked them, says, "Well, where's all your paycheck at?" They said, "Well, you know, I just didn't get that much. I just didn't do that much work this week. So I just didn't earn it much this week." Lying to his wife. Lying to his children. And he's taking food out of the family's mouths. And he's not only that, he's taking away from them and what they need every day. And that's because of drinking. We know people today have a bad habit of smoking. I had a bad habit of smoking that one time. But thank the Lord, he gave me the strength. And he continued to work on me until I just shut him down. I just shut him down and I said, "Lord, you're going to have to do it. I can't. I just don't have the strength to do it. I just don't have the willpower to do it." And he took them away from me. And then I could really start serving the Lord. I could really start serving him. Why? Because I didn't go around people and smelling like I just come out of the pits of hell. That I just come out of a fire and everything. Because it would be all over me and all of that. We see where people today, they have a bad habit of cursing. They have a bad habit of gambling. Now, I know that people today, and they'll blame that on the government. They say, "Well, you should not have put it out there so easy for us to where we go out here and gamble." They'll go out here and gamble with a lottery ticket. Go out here and they'll spend $100 for 100 tickets to where they can hit that lottery. But everybody they've won the great big jackpot. I mean, they'd come home after the government gets their part and everything. They'd come home with 50, 60, and some 80, 90 million dollars. But yet, today, they don't have a dime. They don't have a dime. They done spent it all of the winnings on the fast cars, on the great big homes, and on fast living. Sin will find you out. Sin will find them out. It might take a little while, but sin will find you out. Stealing and lying. We have people today, they will just steal. They will come into the church here, if we happen not to be here, and they will steal everything we have. Because why? They will go around and look. I wonder how much is my stand. They say, well, I'm not going to give these $20 for it. They say, I get 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. That's $100. I get the PA, says, I can get 150, almost $200 for that thing. The computer here, the laptop. Oh man, I can take that home and I can use that at home. Stealing. They don't mind stealing. Why? Because they're too confident lazy to go out here and work. They're too lazy to go out here and work for the family. And they'll do all these things to help the family. They ain't helping the family. They ain't doing it but causing their family heartache. And then they lie to the family. We have people today has all these habits that I just mentioned. The habit of drinking, the habit of smoking, the habit of cursing, the habit of gambling, and the habit of stealing, and the habit of lying. You know, a preacher friend of mine, who, as a matter of fact, he was my pastor one time, and he said while he was preaching his message, and he said, now, I want y'all to listen real closely. Because what I say, you think it's going to confuse you. But it's not. What you need to do, you need to make coming to church a habit. But don't let it be a habit. Don't let it be, hey, I mean, I got to go to church this morning. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, because it's a habit in coming to church. But when we've really got the right kind of habit, when we go to church, we're expecting something else. What are we expecting? We're expecting God's blessings on us. But Jesus had a habit of going to church. Jesus had a habit of going to church. Church should be a place of nothing but love. It should not be no place of bickering. It should be a place of fellowship, sweet fellowship, around the Word of God and around His people. The church should be a place of learning. I don't claim to know this book that well. That's the reason I have to get it out. That's the reason I have to read it. That's the reason I have to study. That's the reason I have to pray and talk to God. We need to make it a habit in coming to church. And when we make it that kind of habit in coming to the church, to where we're going to learn a little more about Jesus, then we've got the right kind of habit. But yes, we can make a habit of just coming to church and Just sitting there on the pew and just thinking about this and thinking about that, thinking about the 12 o'clock hour, and says, I hope he lets us out today at 12, because I got a pot of beans on, and I know if he goes over 12, I know they're going to burn. They're going to scorch and everything. When people are like that, they don't have the right, it's not the right kind of habit. They need to have the right kind of habit in coming to church and being blessed by God. It don't make no difference. You can have the pot of pinto beans on the stove, but you won't even think about the pot of beans. You don't even think about 12 o'clock. Why? Because you know that God is going to intervene. God is going to take care of them pinto beans. God is going to take care of it. They're not going to scorch. They're not going to burn. Why? Because we've got the right habit. Jesus had a habit of reading the scripture. He also had a habit of not just reading the scripture, but he had a habit in realizing what his Father's word said. Now I know that when I'm speaking about God and the Son of God and the Holy Spirit, I'm still speaking about the three in one. I'm still speaking about the triune God. I'm still speaking about the Trinity, the three in one. But even though I'm speaking about all of them together, but we can go to the point of saying they're all separate. They're all separate. I've told you time, how many times I told you? I don't know. I've told you time and time. What does God do? You think God is going to override his Son? No. I know God the Father, he's the judge. He's the great judge. Jesus Christ is not the judge. The Father is the judge. And the Holy Spirit, he has his own position. He has his duties to do. And they have to carry out their duties individually. The Holy Spirit has to take his position. He has to go and search out the hearts that's in church. He has to search the hearts and the ones that's hurting. And search out the ones that's lost. That the Holy Spirit can go to them and say, daughter, son, there's somebody that loves you. I love you, but it's not really, I'm not speaking about that. I'm not speaking about the preacher. The preacher loves you, yes. All the other people in the church, they love you. I'm not speaking about that kind of love either. I'm speaking to the kind of love to walk this earth. And I says, there are people today that don't even think that Jesus walked on the earth that God had created. There are people like it that just don't believe it. They think that Jesus Christ is a myth. One of these days, they're going to find out it's just not a myth. That he done exactly what this word said he done. And he died the same way and what this word says. No other way. I come to the Lord his way. The way the scripture tells me. If anybody else go and get saved, they have to come and go the same way. They have to accept the same Lord. But we have people today out here, I just don't think I can, I don't want to go to church this Sunday. I got plenty of time. I'm still young. Well, you know something? I was young that one time too. But I come to find out that you don't stay young long. And sin will show you older than what you are. I seen an individual the other day, same age I am. I went to school with her. But to look at her face, and to just look at her, you would think she was at least 90 years old. Because she's got wrinkles all over her face. She's got long hair. That's what sin would do to you. That's what sin had done to her. Because she just would not listen. She would not listen to people. And that's the reason that I say that I love people so much that I wish they'd just come on and just get on in and get saved. And once they get saved, they don't have to do nothing else. They don't have to do nothing else. The only thing they got to do is go to Jesus and ask Him to save their soul. And they will be surprised at what Jesus does for them in their life. They'd be so surprised at what they'll end up doing. Just like I told you this morning, when my brother come and picked me up, we got to the hospital, they in the elevator. I asked him, was he still going to church? He said, yeah, I'm going to church. He said, matter of fact, I'm teaching this Sunday. I says, what? Did I hear right? And he'd been teaching for a year and a half, and I didn't know it. See, he didn't think he could do it. No one else in the class would do it. And they had a class full of individuals his age and older. They wouldn't do it. And he said, well, if y'all don't want to do it, and he said, y'all pray for me, I'll do the very best I can do. And he told me, as soon as we got off the elevator, he said, I got them people down there so confused, it's pitiful. He said, what kind of Bible you use? I use the King James. He says, I search out your scripture. And he said, I just tell them what God's given me. And he said, the people in there scratching their head. Like, I ain't never heard that before. And that's a shame. It's a shame that we have people right here in the United States of America. We have people right here in Danville, Virginia. We have people in the county of Ringgold, Pennsylvania County here, that does not even know how to get saved. That's the truth. Now, really, just think about it. We have them here. They don't know how to get saved, but they won't come to church. They won't come to church and allow the preacher to preach your word. Where the Holy Spirit can grab a hold of that heart and bring them to the altar. Jesus had a habit of reading the Word of God. Jesus also had a habit of praying. You know, Jesus went up in the mountain and prayed. He went with Peter and all of them. And he told Peter and he told the others there. He said, y'all wait right here. And I'm going to go yonder. And I'm going to pray. What happened? Peter lost his ear. What happened? He was praying. He was praying when he went up on top of the mountain there with the devil. I just do not believe that there was a time where Jesus was not praying. I believe Jesus prayed 365 days, 366 days a year, 24 hours a day. Because he had on his heart his Father. That he wanted to do the Father's will. Not his. He didn't have no will. Think about it. He didn't have no will. Nowhere in God's word you'll ever find that where Jesus Christ said that my will be done. My Father's will be done. Jesus said, pray for them which despitefully use you. Jesus prayed for the comfort. Jesus said, men ought always to pray. So if we're just sitting there at home and we don't have nothing else to do, we can pray. We can pray in our recliner as we are looking at the TV. We can pray. Just because we got the TV on does not take us away from praying. We need to be constant in prayer at all times. And Jesus saw that the neighbor's physician needed him. Jesus had the habit of caring for his neighbors, for caring for people. And Jesus has got a habit of taking care of me. Jesus has a habit in taking care of you. And the Comforter, he also has a habit too in looking after us as we walk and as we go out. He has a habit too. He don't want us to hurt. He don't want us to get hurt. The Holy Spirit don't. Even God don't want us to get hurt. And his Son definitely don't want us to get hurt. He is not there to hurt anybody. He's there to lift each and every one of us up. And I'm so thankful that I can look to him for that. Jesus had a habit of getting in the middle of conflict between people. He had a habit because he just wanted to get into conflict where that maybe me and somebody else may be discussing something. And they asked me about, what do you think about the word here? Yes, and I can give them my opinion. And I can tell them what God's word says. I said, but if I linger on that, it's going to be a conflict between me and them. So I got a habit of not talking to an individual and discussing about them. Because when I start discussing the Bible with them, they're not already wanted Bible. Because it defeated me. That's one reason I miss Brother Roy Newton. I really do. I miss me and him going out together. Because me and Brother Newton, we could get out of here and we could ride. We went down one Saturday to his home place.
down there, almost to Clarksville, and you had to turn back to the right and go into North Carolina, where he was born and raised at, and he just wanted to go down there and see if his house, the old house, was still standing. When we left that morning, we started talking. And we started talking about Jesus and how good he is to us. And I reckon the last word that we said, going down there and then coming back, the last word he said to me or the last word I said to him, let's pray. He was always an encouragement to me. And we need to be an encouragement to people. I need to be an encouragement to you. I need to be an encouragement to your family. I need to be an encouragement to the people I hear. If I'm not the one that can bring some kind of encouragement to them, then sad, they're sad shape. Jesus was delivered by God. We see right here where he died on the cross. And he died as he died on the cross. When he died, that right there was a meaning to us. That was an answer to us. That when he died, he had a home for us. That one day, we'll get there. And I believe before I go and I see my stepfather, and before I go and see my cousins or my brother and everything, before I see any of them, as soon as I get through the gates, I'm going to bow at his feet. And I'm going to thank him. And I'm going to lay what crowns he gave me. I'm going to lay them right there. Because, see, once we go in, the crowns is going to be given out to each one of us. Now, everybody that is saved is going to have at least one crown. But there are five crowns that's going to be offered to us, is offered to us today, if we're willing to do something for the other crowns. We have the crown of righteousness. We have the crown of joy. Have the crown of peace. We have the crowns there for us to go after. Plus, Jesus had a habit of giving. Jesus gave up his life for me and for you. I sure am thankful for that. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He became poor that I could be rich one day. Hey, I'm wealthy today. You're looking at somebody is wealthy. I own this. I own People's Bank. I own that bank over there. I own the banks downtown. I own everything. I even own the cattle that's on the hill right here. As a matter of fact, I even own the hill. Why? He promised me that. He promised you the same thing. The inheritance. Think about that. The inheritance that he has left us and we're going to receive. I mean, if nothing else, that right there is enough to serve him. Just in knowing that we're going to really be inherited something. And it ain't going to be no little piece of land out here either. Where the house is run down. Water pipes are leaking.
the plumbing is open, sewage is overflowing, the weeds just grew up, the bushes has took over everything. We ain't got to worry about none of that. Only thing we've got to worry about is our inheritance. Have you inherited anything? Yeah, you inherited something through Satan, because he's promised us that. And I'm not just telling you that just to be telling you something that is not true, because it is true. He says that we will inherit all of heaven. I didn't pay the price. I didn't pay it for that price. I could not pay that price. If you pay it. I'm just so thankful that he paid the ultimate price for me. That one day, I'll be able to go to him and thank him personally. We're not going to just get there in a line and then all of a sudden everybody's going to be holding up a sign and says, "Thank you, Jesus." No. We're going to go through them individually. And we're going to thank him personally for what he did. Because he deserves that. We don't deserve to stand before him. No, I don't deserve to stand before him. But he says, "I deserve the right to come to him and thank him." That right there is enough. That right there is enough for an old independent Baptist church. Remember just to go on and shout for glory. Matter of fact, that's something good for Southern Baptists just to shout on. And I'll even go a little farther than that. I think it's just as good enough for a Pentecostal holiness to shout. Because they don't shout no more today. They don't. But praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Because there's nothing I can do for myself. But I'm so thankful that you did. You've done it all. And I thank you for that. Lord Jesus, we ask now, Father, that you would be with us, Father. And Lord, I pray, God, that you'll just go with us to our respective homes this evening. And Father, you will give us a good rest tonight. And Father, that where we can be able to get up in the morning, and the ones that has to go to the doctor, therapy, anything, Father, that we can be able to go to the doctor and therapy, Lord. And Father, you can give us a good outcome in each and every case. And Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. And lead us to that individual that's lost, Father. And help us, Lord, that if we don't go where they are, Lord, that you'll some way give us their phone number. You'll give us from where they live at, Father, where we can kind of run them down or whatever, and trying to find out something about the individual, where they live, and the phone number, Father. And Father, because I know, Lord Jesus, that you still have something for me to do, and for Faith Baptist Church. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.